God lays out for us in Scripture our need for salvation in the law and the assurance that Jesus has saved us in the gospel.
Dr. Carl Fakencher talking about his presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
That's the way God communicates to us in every page of Scripture, and therefore it's vital that we have been given this gift of history, an understanding of law and gospel, make it a centerpiece in the way we speak law and gospel, the way we speak God's word to people today.
You can meet and hear Dr. Carl Fakencher making the case for law and gospel Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The 2016 Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
Everyone understands that the values in New York City are socially liberal or pro-abortion or pro-gay marriage.
Contrary to Senator Cruz, I think New York values are America's values, yes. And we want to stand up for those here in New York and across the country.
He does not like New York, and he doesn't like New Yorkers. That's when he brought up New York values, like in disgust.
It's up to you, New York.
Really concerned that what you're suggesting is that we should give our own words and our own paraphrase to people when they're suffering in place of Jesus' word.
This is Mark from Michigan, and I am a lawnmower listener. We love Issues Etc.
Two very different places to be. One, a prison, the Texas State Penitentiary System. In fact, death row, where the worst of the worst wait for the justice that comes in the form of, in many cases, lethal injection. And a church, a pulpit, two different places, two different jobs, being a guard on death row and being a Lutheran pastor in that pulpit, in that church. We're going to be talking about one man's journey from executioner to pastor. Welcome back to Issues Etc., coming to you from the studios of Lutheran Public Radio in Collinsville, Illinois. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in on this Friday afternoon, April the 22nd. Joining us to tell his story of a journey from executioner to pastor, Pastor Timothy Carter, pastor at Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, author of the Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April, The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. Pastor Carter, welcome to Issues Etc.
Thank you, Todd. Glad to be here with you.
By your accounting, over 150 executions in one form or another you participated in. And I know that, as you say in the book, it kind of blurs together. But is there one that stands out in your memory? And if so, why?
There definitely is. There were many. They were all different. And one does stand out, and that was the execution of an inmate by the name of Carla Faye Tucker. The reason why, in answer to your question, partially because she was the first female that we had executed in many, many decades, but mostly because of her amazing Christian witness. She came to us, you know, I had heard that she was a Christian, but I had also heard that she was a very difficult and challenging inmate in her early years, but that she had been transformed by the gospel and had become a very strong believer. And her witness that she lived in front of all of us on the last day of her life was definitely the most memorable and profound experience of all of those executions.
So can you go into a little more detail with her story, what brought her to death row, and then what you saw there on the day of her execution?
You bet, Todd. She, Carla Faye Tucker, had committed a double murder. And at that time in her life, she was a prostitute and a drug addict. And in her crime, it was an extremely violent double murder. She killed her victims with a pickaxe. And when they found her victims, one of them still had the pickaxe embedded in her chest. And so sorry to be graphic, but it is what I deal with, I suppose. And in any event, in her court hearing and in her trial, she not only admitted guilt, but bragged about the pleasure she got from killing the people and killing them in this manner. So the answer to your question, Todd, is that when she came to us, she was a wolf. She was a very vicious, mean-hearted, cold wolf. And she remained that way for a while on death row. A lot of our death row inmates, maybe most of them, remain very cold people. But she did also, but only after a couple of few years. She remained on death row for 14 years before she was executed. But after 2 or 3 years on death row, some prison ministry workers were used of God, and the gospel penetrated her heart, and she became a believer. And progressively over the rest of her years on death row, she became a very, very strong, strong believer. And I had heard some of that, but when she lived on female death row, which is a couple hundred miles away from our execution chamber and our death house at the Walls Unit in Huntsville, Texas. And so when they brought her to us for the last day of her life, the day of her execution, I spent that day with her. And it was profoundly different than any other execution that I had ever experienced. She had a peace about her that we had not seen prior to this. We had executed inmates that were Christians and believers, but not like this, not this degree of faith. She was smiling all day. She was happy. She was full of joy. She wasn't afraid of death in the least. There was a huge, huge throng of many, many thousands of people on our front lawn protesting. And we had phone calls from lots of religious leaders, including the Pope, to our governor. And so we did not think that the execution was going to go down. And all of them were saying that she's not the same person. She's been transformed. She's now a strong Christian. She should not have to pay this penalty. And so I had no problem believing from everything that I saw and witnessed and all my conversations with her that she was definitely a very sincere, committed Christian, and she loved the Lord. But she wasn't afraid of dying in the least. She wasn't fighting for her life. You know, I think one thing that I might have said in my book is that a lot of people there may have been wondering, doesn't this girl realize that she's about to die? Because there's no sign of fear, no sign of anxiety at all. But the truth was that Carla Faye Tucker had already died to self. And she had been killed by the law and made alive again by the gospel. And so she was just filled with joy, and this last day of her life wasn't about to extinguish the fire of the Holy Spirit that was within her. And so she wasn't preachy. She wasn't quoting a bunch of scriptures and all that stuff, but she just had the countenance of joy and faith in the Lord. And another thing that was, I'll try to condense this as short as I can, but they sent a bunch of female death row officers from female death row to assist us with this execution because none of us had executed a female before. And they had obviously grown to like Carla Faye Tucker and even love her. And so they were very, very disturbed by this capital punishment process. None of them had participated in capital punishment before, and we had done many, many, many. Carla Faye had become their friend. And so these female executioners, these female death row officers, were just grieving tremendously. And Carla Faye Tucker was not grieving at all. And so her countenance that day was spent mostly consoling those death row officers. And she kept telling them over and over again, you're going to be okay, you know, just trust in the Lord. You're going to be just fine. And so that was just mind-boggling to me, that her concern on the last day of her life was ministering to and comforting and being a blessing to, being used of God in that last time. I guess I could keep talking about that for hours probably, but her countenance, her joy. Even when it came to serve her last meal, she just edified the work of the food service people so much that it blessed them tremendously, made their day. We're not used to that type of an attitude from any inmate, much less a death row inmate. We're not used to any inmate loving their keepers, prison guards, but especially death row inmates, sincerely loving the people that are about to execute her. And so it humbled me. It humbled me tremendously. I was a strong believer at this time, and I loved the Lord, but after watching her and speaking to her for hours, I found myself repenting before God that here I am being mentored in faith by a condemned murderer. And I had to admit before God that my faith was not that strong. My witness was not as profound as hers. And so she definitely had a stronger witness for Christ in her death than she probably would have if she would have lived for many, many more years. So that was a very profound execution day in my experiences.
We're hearing one man's journey from executioner to pastor. Pastor Timothy Carter is our guest, author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. When we come back, we'll have him describe the duties that he had while serving at the Walls facility in Texas.
Organist Service, aptly abbreviated SOS, really has come to our rescue.
Pastor Jim Hollowatch of Christ Lutheran Church in Jackson, Mississippi.
With the ever-growing shortage of skilled musicians in our community, we were approaching a real crisis. But thanks to the Substitute Organist Service, help is always just minutes away. With its easy, intuitive interface, friendly customer service, and outstanding musicianship, you really couldn't ask for more.
You can find out more about the Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com.
Throughout the 50 days of Easter, sacred music for the world. LutheranPublicRadio.org. Listen 24/7 to sacred music for the Easter season. LPR, LutheranPublicRadio.org.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues, Etc. 300. Grace Lutheran, Henderson, Nevada. Faith Lutheran, Orange City, Iowa. Bethany Lutheran, Fairview Heights, Illinois. Bethlehem Lutheran, North Zulch, Texas. Risen Christ Lutheran, Arvada, Colorado. Trinity Lutheran and Grace Lutheran, Wichita, Kansas. Emmanuel Lutheran, Perryville, Missouri. Risen Savior Lutheran, Basor, Kansas. St. John Lutheran, Champaign, Illinois. Trinity Lutheran, Auburn, Nebraska. Holy Trinity Lutheran, Columbia, South Carolina, Grace Lutheran, Elgin, Texas, Gethsemane Lutheran, Marion, Ohio, and St. John Lutheran, Springfield, Pennsylvania. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues, Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation becomes a congregational sponsor, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues, Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues, Etc. On this Friday afternoon, we're talking about one man's journey from executioner to pastor. Pastor Timothy Carter is our guest. Pastor Carter, you had varied duties in your time in the Texas State Penal System, but can you describe your duties while at the Walls facility in Texas?
Yes, I started off as a prison guard, became promoted over the years to supervisor and lieutenant and captain, and then I was a judge over our internal court system, holding court on inmates that committed crimes in prison. And because of that position, I was appointed to the capital punishment squad, to the death squad. And I stayed on that squad for years and years and years, all of the executions, like I said, over 150. And my main role, I did many different things over the years, but my main role was I would spend the last day of the inmate's life. Inmates would live on the other side of town on death row, to where I have been there and worked there many, many times and spent a lot of time over there. But But the executions actually happen in the death house, which is at the Walls Unit, the main oldest penitentiary in Huntsville. And so they ship all those inmates to the death house, to the Walls Unit, on the last day of their life. And so my job is, the prison chaplain and I, we would spend the last day of that inmate's life in the death house holding cell with that inmate, speaking to them, assessing their condition. And then I would also spend that last day going across the street to the holding room where the condemned inmate's family and friends would be, because some of them would be considered for witnessing the execution. And if I approved them as being security safe, I would escort them across the street and stand with them during the execution while they were actually witnessing the execution. Same thing with the families and friends of the victims. They are also in a different room across the street, and I would, part of my days of an execution day, would be talking to those people, and if they passed my security evaluation, I would escort them in, and they would be allowed to witness the execution as well. So part of my job was to keep those two families separated and to approve them security, which was a lot involved in that, and then to stand with them. And once I had all that in place, my job was to give the thumbs up, go ahead, green light, to the actual executioner himself, and the execution would take place. And so my main job was that, spending the last day with the condemned inmate. And they were not allowed any visits on that day. And so in replace of that, I would communicate for the inmate with their family and from the family back to the inmate by walking across the street a few times and communicating for them. So, yes, the last day of every condemned inmate's life, I would spend with those inmates.
Why were you interested in working for the Texas State Penitentiary System?
I was a student at Sam Houston State University as a young man, and the only two jobs in Huntsville, Texas, were the state penitentiary and the university. So I ended up, after 2 years at Sam Houston State, needing an extra income, I ended up hiring on as a prison guard, working night shift on a gun tower, thinking that I could just do that for a short while and not encounter any challenges, and just night shift guy, and then pay for my college education and quit and get out of there. But it didn't happen that way. The next thing I knew, I was moved inside. I was working cell blocks, and the very cold, vicious, violent world of the state penitentiary became my world. And that environment shaped my heart and shaped my life, and I became a product of that environment. And I ended up spending the rest of my adult life inside that prison.
So talk about that in a little detail, the people who have not experienced the inside of a prison simply can't imagine what life is like in there for both inmates and for those who serve those inmates in terms of guards and else. What's it like?
Yes, Todd. Sometimes I have used the statement that I worked at the Walls Unit, and there is a 30-foot high, 4-foot thick cement and brick wall around that place. And my statements have been that there needs to be a wall that high and that thick to keep the outside world from knowing and seeing and understanding what goes on inside there, because it's horrible. I don't wish that career on anyone. I'm thankful that I was able to survive and that career and to actually come to know the Lord and serve him in there. But it's a horrible occupation, and even more of an absolute horrible nightmare for anyone to even spend 1 hour or 1 day in there, much less a sentence of many years in that place. It is a description that I've used that's very, very accurate, is that it's, if you could imagine gathering together all of the meanest, most hateful, most violent people in the state of Texas and putting them all together in one, under one roof. That is the environment. And so if you're an inmate, whether you yourself are a dangerous, violent wolf, or whether you're just in there because of getting too many DWIs, you are in a dog-eat-dog, survival-of-the-fittest environment that is absolutely brutal. and violent and horrible. And so just to survive in there is an effort. To be a Christian in there is a Herculean effort. And so in the book, I do talk about the absolute priceless value of prison ministers that serve God by reaching out to those guys and girls in there. Yes, Todd, it's terrible. Now, there are, in the state of Texas, there is over 100 penitentiaries, and some of them are not nearly as violent. And some of them are smaller, minimum security prisons, and an employee or an inmate can have a prison experience that's not as bad as what I'm describing. But at least two-thirds of our prisons are pretty seriously bad. You know, at least 40 or 50% of them are every bit of the nightmare that I'm describing. And so it's inmates doing time in prison. Again, it's survival of the fittest atmosphere, and survival is a very, very difficult task. Inmates prey upon each other every day, all day. They abuse each other. It's a very violent, very hostile, terrible environment. I became used to, and unfortunately, embarrassingly, I became comfortable with things that would just turn the stomach of our listeners for me to describe that happen every day in prison. Those inmates just abuse each other horribly, and you're thinking, well, where's the guards? There are guards, but you know, there's the percentage of guards to inmates is pretty vast. You know, many, many, many inmates for every one guard. And so they're always understaffed because the turnover is so high, because the employees don't want to be there either. And so that was my feeling as well when I started working there, especially when they put me inside and I was working in the cell block. I wanted to leave the very next day. It's just a miracle that I survived to continue working there. So the turnover rate is very high, and many officers do become a product of their environment, as I did. Unfortunately, my experience was that few had that hard shell around their heart penetrated by the gospel and came to know and love and serve the Lord in prison. Most prison guards have a very bad experience of becoming a product of that environment, becoming very cold-hearted and insensitive, as I did, and as I was for the first handful of years in my career.
It's Friday, April the 22nd. We're talking with Pastor Timothy Carter, pastor at Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, The Executioner's Redemption, about his journey from executioner to pastor. Stay tuned.
Would you like to help a college or seminary student attend the Issues, Etc., Making the Case Conference? You can purchase a conference scholarship for a contribution of $100 to Issues, Etc. You can donate online at issuesetc.org/scholarship. Or you can make your $100 check payable to Issues, Etc. Write Scholarship in the memo line and send it to Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234.
Even if your child has mild to moderate autism, learning disabilities, attention difficulties, or other learning challenges, he can receive a classical Christian education. The Simply Classical curriculum was created by Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope, an author, educator with a master's degree in special education, and homeschooling mother of twins with special needs. The Simply Classical curriculum has become an answer to prayer for parents and schools. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 with the coupon code LPR.
Oh Lord, open my lips.
Listen to chapel services live, weekday mornings from Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Morning chapel from Kramer Chapel. Live weekday mornings at 9 Central, 10 Eastern, 8 Mountain, and 7 Pacific at issuesetc.org.
No gimmicks, no shticks, just straightforward preaching and teaching in accord with Scripture and the Lutheran confessions. Buy the book Liturgy right from the hymnal. No glitz, just Christ crucified for sinners like us. We're Grace Lutheran Church in Racine, Wisconsin. Come receive God's gifts with us. Find out more about us at GraceLutheranRacine, that's all one word, .net. And like you, we're proud supporters of Issues Etc.
The radio voice of the Lutheran faith for the 21st century. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Do you have a student finishing up 8th grade at a Lutheran school? Do you wish there were a Lutheran high school close to where you live so your student could continue going to a Lutheran school? What if there was an opportunity for high school students in public or Lutheran school to take classes like Latin, logic, and hard-hitting theology courses? Well, there is. It's called Wittenberg Academy, the first completely online classical Lutheran high school. Visit our website, wittenbergacademy.org, to find out more.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
Welcome back. I'm Todd Wilkin. This is Issues Etc. We're talking about one man's journey from executioner to pastor. Pastor Timothy Carter is our guest, pastor at Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, author of the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. We're hearing some of that story now, and you could read the entire story for yourself in the Issues Etc. book of the month for April, The Executioner's Redemption. It's on every page of our website, issuesetc.org. It's on sale right now for $12.99. Or you can also call Concordia Publishing House and order right there, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Ask for The Executioner's Redemption, The Issues Etc., Book of the Month for April. Pastor Carter, before the break, you were talking about kind of the conditions, what it was like working in the penitentiary system there in Texas. How did it shape your view of the world, of yourself, in those first few years?
I'd like to consider myself as a semi-normal person when I came to work for the penitentiary, but once I got in there, working the cell blocks, my people that were training me in there, now the official training school, the academy, taught me how to be a proper guard, but the guards that trained me on the job quickly told me to flush all that. That stuff will get you killed. The words that they used that I obviously haven't forgot is kindness is weakness. And Christian prison guards are a weak link in the chain that will not last long. And so I eventually told those training me that you don't have to worry about me being kind and weak, and you sure don't have to worry about me being one of those weak link in the chain Christians. I was unchurched when I came into that employment, had been for a while, and had never read a word of Scripture, even in the churching that I did have, and what years before. But I was ripe to be molded and shaped by that environment. My environment was very violent, inmate upon inmate very violent, and us, the prison guards, my fellow guards, extremely brutal in taking care of business, keeping the peace, I guess you could say. I hate to say this, but when I went to work for the state penitentiary back in the 70s there and decades before that, the leading cause of death of inmates was being struck by lightning, and none of them were struck by lightning. We used to take care of business, I'm ashamed, to the point of, I talk about in my book that after being with the prison a couple of years and after becoming a very insensitive, cold-hearted, very violent person, I pumped iron all day, run wind sprints, because I was dependent totally upon my strength, not upon God. And we fought constantly, and I even enjoyed it, looked forward to it, considered it a daily battle, a war against inmates that I was glad to fight, enjoyed fighting. And so that's the kind of heart I had, that the prison made that type of a person out of me. And And after a couple of, a handful of years in prison, as God would have it, a family member got ill. And so I abruptly left that career for a short time and went to work in a steel mill while I was helping my family take care of my father-in-law. And in that time, God put me beside a Christian who introduced me to the Word of God, and I read the Word of God for the first time in my life at 25 years old. The Word did. The gospel just changed me at that point. And so not long after that, the steel mill shut down. I ended up going back to work for the prison. And amazingly, Todd, during that time, many of the people that had trained me, that I was aspiring to be like and that I was working hard to become just like and prove myself by fighting and being just as violent or even more cold than they were, most of those guys had been convicted of brutality and were now inmates in prison themselves. And so I escaped that only by the grace of God, as following down that same path as them. He removed me from the prison and allowed me to be in an environment that would allow me to hear the gospel and to respond to it, and also to avoid, for heaven's sake, becoming a literal product of that environment, becoming an inmate myself. So that's kind of what happened to my heart and my life.
What was it like going back, leaving to, you know, to work this other job as an unbeliever, being brought to faith by the Word of God, then going back into that environment? What were you thinking when you went back in?
Good question, Todd. It was a huge, huge difference, a big change. I went back, and now all I could think of was, oh, my goodness. I used to call, all of us prison guards used to call prison ministry workers, we called them hug-a-thugs. We disliked them, we distrust them, we despised them. We thought they were just nothing but a security breach to have prison ministry workers come in. And we thought they were just gullible, vulnerable people. And so I remember thinking when I came back, oh no, how am I going to survive in this? Because I am now what I used to despise and hate and distrust. And so it was a daily struggle for me to figure out how can I be an effective prison employee and take care of business daily and keep the peace and be a Christian, which I now am. And so, interestingly, I had not been churched, but I was reading the Word like crazy, and my influence was a radio preacher that was pretty much mostly or all law and pretty much little or no gospel. And so that shaped my heart. And that I actually adopted that, and I thought, well, this is wonderful. I'm justified here as being an agent of God's wrath, and now I can be a Christian and take care of business, and I can be as violent as I need to be in the name of the Lord. And so, you know, that's a lot of truth sprinkled with a whole lot of deceptive misinterpretation or misapplication of God's Word. And so it was a dangerous combination, but I followed that. And so the book does talk about that. And that path, unfortunately, got me promoted a couple times, and I did become very effective at security. And that was the decade of the 80s was probably the most violent decade ever in prison. It was when prison gangs formed, inmates killed each other more than ever before in front of me constantly. I fought more than ever in that decade as a Christian. And so that's the answer to your question, Todd, is actually it was very difficult, and there was a tug of war from my heart every day about how do I represent Christ properly, how do I be an effective prison employee. And unfortunately, the answer that I found was from a Christian, but I guess you could say a type of Christian that was a radio preacher that was almost all law and almost no gospel. At one point in that caught up with me, and my life began to reap the consequences of having that type of a application and a living of God's Word that way. And I suffered a lot of ugly consequences that I describe in the book. And I was about to just drop out of life, quit the prison and all that, and I happened upon one of our criminal justice professors at Sam Houston State University by the name of Dr. George Beto, who was a Lutheran pastor. I spent some time with him, and he counseled me towards the proper balance of law and gospel. And he introduced me to Matthew 10:16, sending you out as sheep among wolves. Therefore, you need to be shrewd as snakes, innocent as doves. And so he introduced me to that and told me that I was being great at being as shrewd as a serpent, but I was being horrible, as innocent as a dove, and that I need to read the word from now on, allowing the word to speak the gospel, to speak to me, not just only what I wanted to read, which supported my what I thought I was, an agent of God's wrath, and only law. And so that changed my life, and that was when I became introduced to the LCMS Lutheran Church for the first time, and I have been a Lutheran ever since. But that, in answer to your question, coming back to prison as a Christian was a very, very difficult tug of war for my heart, and for many different strange reasons.
That's an intriguing idea that we'll take up on the other side of the break. Shrewd as a serpent, innocent as a dove. How does that play out in your day-to-day duties working in a death house on death row in Texas? We'll get Pastor Timothy Carter's answer to that question right after this. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a story about one man's journey from death row executioner to Lutheran pastor. It's titled The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can check it out at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. The Executioner's Redemption is on sale for $12.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Executioner's Redemption.
LCMS Rural and Small Town Mission exists to support and encourage congregations in rural and small town settings. In partnership with LCMS districts, RSTM is uniquely positioned to make a major impact in revitalization support, community engagement and outreach training, congregational partnership development, and worker support through providing and developing resources geared specifically to rural and small town congregations. Check us out at lcms.org/RSTM or give us a call at our office. We're here to help.
We're supported by listeners like you. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Come and experience firsthand by sitting down in classes and actually hearing professors, coming to chapel, which is always the high point of the day, to hear the Word of God and to lift our voices in song.
Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Paul Grimm on why you should consider visiting Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana.
Spend time talking to professors. I mean, there's not a professor here who will not be willing to take time, whether it's after chapel during the coffee hour or just to come into one study and sit down and talk for a while, to answer questions, to help them to get a sense of, A, do they want to be a pastor or a deaconess, and then B, is this the right place, and well, maybe C would be the question, is now the right time for them to make that decision.
If you've contemplated the vocation of pastor or deaconess, contact Concordia Theological Seminary, Fort Wayne, Indiana, 1-800-481-2155, 800-481-2155, or send an email to admission@ctsfw.edu.
South Africa.
China.
Germany.
Trinidad and Tobago.
Did you know that people listen to Issues Etc. around the world? India.
Sweden.
Egypt. France.
Turkey.
Japan.
Australia.
Canada.
United Kingdom.
Hong Kong. Austria.
Finland. Malaysia.
Singapore. Bulgaria.
Korea. Brazil.
You can support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. by making a secure online donation at issuesetc.org. You can also donate by check. Make your check payable to Lutheran Public Radio and send it to LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. LPR, Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Help us proclaim Christ to the world.
The Philippines.
Mexico.
Spain.
New Zealand.
Kuwait.
That's Bach Cantata 108. It is for your good that I depart. You can hear it Sunday afternoon at 1 and Sunday evening at 8 p.m. Central at LutheranPublicRadio.org and on the LPR mobile app. These Sunday Bach Cantatas are brought to you uninterrupted by Church Music Solutions, the producers of the Substitute Organist Service. This is a program that plays your organ in your church. It is not canned music. It's not amateurish. It actually plays your church's organ with the skill and the art of a real professional organist sitting at your organ bench called the Substitute Organist Service. Find out more about Substitute Organist Service at churchmusicsolutions.com. We're talking about one man's journey from executioner to pastor. Pastor Timothy Carter is our guest. Pastor Carter, give us an example, if you would, of what you were talking about before the break, shrewd as a serpent, innocent as a dove, in your day-to-day work there in the death house.
Yeah, the same thing there in the death house that it is in the general population, and that is that most inmates are not good people. There are some good people in there that made some bad decisions, and they are caught in a world of pure hell. But in death row, if there's anybody in there that's, a generally wonderful person, usually that happened by the hand of God after they got there. So most of the people that are in the death house, condemned inmates, are pretty severely what the state of Texas would call the worst of the worst, the meanest of the mean, and the most deadly and the most violent inmates. So some of those experiences are extremely violent. Some inmates definitely do not walk peacefully from into the death house, nor from the holding cell to the execution gurney. And so the walk from the holding cell to the death room that holds the execution gurney is only about 40 feet, but we've definitely had to fight some people with just the most violent fight you can imagine to get them, extract them from that cell and strap them down on the death gurney. It can be a horrible, horrible experience. So not all of them are that violent. A lot of them are just verbally violent, to where the inmate comes in there and he is threatening us and cursing us and maybe throwing things on us. I'll try not to get too graphic on this program. But it can be a very, very horrible experience. Now, sometimes it's not too bad. Sometimes the inmate is quiet, somber. Sometimes they're scared to death. Sometimes they have spent all their years on death row, preying upon other inmates and continuing their old lifestyle and have never thought this day would come. And so by the time they come to the death house, a lot of them are terrified. They finally realize that they're not bulletproof, and this really is going to happen. And so some of them are scared, and which is a very horrible, unfortunate situation all of its own. But the opportunity for ministry in each of those different scenarios is different. It's strange. Some of those people are fertile soil that are just ripe for the gospel to be sown into their hearts, and some of them are just as hard-hearted, or even more so, than when they came to prison and came to death row. And some of them, again, don't want to talk to the chaplain, don't want to talk to me, and if they do, all they want to do, excuse me for laughing, sometimes you have to laugh to keep from crying when you're talking about this life. But some of them, all they want to do when it comes to talking is just verbally abuse us and insult us. And so the myriad of different things that happen in the death house. And I have to include that the other part of what I described that I did is that I would go across and talk to the condemned inmate's family. And I would also talk to the victim's family. Those are very horrible situations as well. As you can imagine, intense grief, intense heartbreak from the family of the condemned and also the family of the victims. They're reliving the crime all over again. And sometimes, you know, I would, after I assess that the family and friends were secure enough for me to escort in, sometimes I would make a bad assessment. And we'd end up with a situation on our hands that we would have to correct very quickly with free world people that were visitors. And then sometime the inmate himself, when we would, I would give the signal that it was proceed with the execution, the inmate would be allowed to make his last words. Sometimes the inmate would use his request, do you have any last words, to turn his head to the side and look at the family of his victims and verbally abuse them and brag about how much fun he had victimizing them. And so I hate to talk about these things, but I do talk about them in the book. And just in answer to your question, there are all kinds of horrible different things that happen in that death house on the last day of an inmate's life. So just me scrolling through some of the memories as we talk is just depressing at best. And occasionally, like with Carla Faye Tucker and a few Christian inmates, it's actually a joyous situation, but most of the time it is not.
Then you watch those men die. You know, every last one of them, the execution is carried out. And I wonder then, in that latter part of your career, where you have gone from a guard shaped by the prison into this world of violence and ruthlessness, to a Christian guard mistakenly thinking you're kind of the sword of God carrying these things out, to a right understanding of both law and gospel, your place in this terrible, terrible job that somebody has to do. When you watch them die then, understanding what you're doing in a right sense as part of God's system of justice, temporal justice in this world, what are you thinking when you're watching those men die?
Well, Todd, that also was a huge tug of war on my heart. And so I dug deeper and deeper into God's Word as a Christian on the death squad, searching for and praying for that answer of what do I do with my heart now in this situation, which is, oh my goodness, maybe one of the most intense situations a heart can be in. And so through a lot of counsel with my pastor and a lot of spending time in God's Word, I came to know that kind of like the third article tells us, all of us, no one comes to know the Lord Jesus Christ without being called by the Holy Spirit, and that calling extends to all vocations in life, that we are called to faith, and we receive faith, and then our response to that faith is also kind of a civic righteousness calling. And so police officers, soldiers, and executioners can be Christians and can definitely be used of God to represent him properly. And so that is how my heart and my mind dealt with that, is that this is not good. It's sad. It's unfortunate. It's horrible. But somehow, some way, it would be better for this dying, condemned inmate and for his family and for the families of the victims. It would be better for all of them for this position that I hold to be held by a Christian who loves and fears God and who loves these people, even the condemned inmate. And so that is how I faced that. And in the book, I talk about some of those various challenges and some of the struggles from my heart. And some of them were extremely, extremely emotional. You are correct, Todd. You know, I was a seasons in the earlier part of my career, I was extremely cold-hearted and very insensitive. And to make that transformation, that transition to being very sensitive and very tender-hearted and desiring and praying with all of my heart to represent God properly and to reflect Jesus in such a position is a nonstop struggle. Only answered prayer enabled me to do what I did. You know, in the book, I do describe many different accounts of how God enabled me and allowed me to be a comfort to the condemned inmate, a comfort to his family, a comfort to the victims. And a lot of them I was able to, and again, I was not preachy or any of that. When they would ask intently, I would go there as it was appropriately allowed, I guess you could say. But mostly, I guess you could say, and here we go back to me being mentored by that condemned murderer, Carla Faye Tucker, her countenance of joy and of confidence in God, her witness was effective, and it affected me, and I did become a person that had more joy and more confidence in God, and I had that in the death house. And so I developed a heart of intense empathy for all people involved, yet I still did my job very professionally and very effectively. But I did it as one that, again, I was hoping and praying that somehow, some way, I would represent God properly and be a blessing to those folks. And so God allowed that. So like I said, there are lots of stories in the book about how God turned those situations around. Some of them got extremely confrontational and very tough. And because of answered prayer, and only because of answered prayer, God turned those situations around and allowed me to, sure enough, represent him well, and the people ended up being blessed in those situations rather than, you know, ended up having a very, very bad or unfortunate experiences as they could have. If I had not had the heart that God enabled me to have, things could have been, would have been very, very different.
So I imagine eventually at some point, you can only do this for so long. We got a few minutes left here. How do you go from death house to the church house?
Once again, Todd, good question. And it is interesting that by the time I was ready to retire, and I did retire, God had been working on my heart a long, long time, for many years. And so I had a much softer heart. And so it is amazing, Todd, because now my primary role here at Salem is care and compassion ministry. And so I'm care pastor. And but interestingly, my jobs that I do now are I help people to live the last hours and days of their life. I visit, my church has thousands of members, and so I conduct all the funerals here. I visit all the hospice patients. I visit all the hospitals, all the nursing homes. And so I actually help people to live with their mind, heart, and eyes on Christ in the dying hours, moments, days, and months of their lives. Again, a large church, we have a lot of kids that go astray. And so I actually go back to the prison now, and I visit kids. There's not a month that goes by that I don't go back inside one of the state penitentiaries here and visit people. So God has taken me from that world to this world and enabled me to serve him probably more effectively than I ever could have if I didn't have such wild experiences that I had.
Pastor Timothy Carter is pastor at Salem Lutheran Church in Tomball, Texas, and author of The Issues, Etc., Book of the Month for April, The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can find out more about this book right there at our website, issuesetc.org. It's on every page of the website. Or call Concordia Publishing House and order The Executioner's Redemption, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Pastor Carter, thank you very much.
Yes, sir, Todd, thank you.
Monday on Issues Etc., we'll talk with Dr. Jennifer Roback Morse about the gay rights movement and the transgendered movement. We'll look forward to Sunday morning with Dr. Carl Fikencher, and we'll continue our series Top 3 Verses with Pastor Brian Wolfmiller. Folks, we have just less than 150 slots left for the 4th Annual Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference. This is everything that you love about Issues Etc. in one weekend, one conference. Attendance this year is limited to 400, and registration is $100. That includes three meals. You can find out more, and you can register at issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385, 618-223-8385. It's the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, Friday, June the 10th, and Saturday, June the 11th, in Collinsville, Illinois. We hope to see you there. Register at our website, issuesetc.org, or call 618-223-8385. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you Monday. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
What would you say if someone asked you to explain the Trinity? Would you begin with Scripture, the creeds, or some clever analogy? And how are Christ and the gospel at the center of this fundamental Christian teaching? Issues Etc. regular guest Dr. Carl Beckwith has written a new book in the Confessional Lutheran Dogmatic series. It's titled The Holy Trinity. You can save $5 by pre-ordering The Holy Trinity at logia.org, logia.org.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
We have 7 Arabic language transcripts of Issues Etc. that you can download for free.
يمكنك تنزيل النص لسبع حلقات من برنامج قضايا باللغة العربية مجانا.
These broadcast transcripts cover the 6 chief parts of Luther's Small Catechism and include a teaching on why do bad things happen.
تغطي تلك النصوص الأجزاء الستة الرئيسية من كتاب التعليم المسيحي لمارتن لوثر.
You can download and print these Arabic transcripts for free. Just go to issuesetc.org, click Publications.
وتشمل تعليما عن لماذا تحدث المصائب. لتنزيل وطباعة النصوص العربية مجانا، اذهب إلى issuesetc.org ثم انقر على Publications.
Casting Christ's net on the internet, issuesetc.org.
نطرح شبكة المسيح على شبكة الإنترنت. issuesetc.org.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today, LutheranReformation.org.